Well, good evening. Yeah. I don't even know how to start. I want to thank everybody for giving me the opportunity to preach. I don't get to speak very often, and I enjoy doing it. I just will try to give you the best information I can every time I do it. Last week, we were talking about the church in the wilderness and the fact that the church in the wilderness, or the assembly in the wilderness, is the same terminology, was basically God's people as he designed his people to be before the church existed. This was the group of people who were the Jews at the time. They were in the wandering in the wilderness, trying to keep from being killed by all their enemies on all sides. But the fact is that this church that was in the wilderness back then was about 3,200 years ago, and we tried to draw some parallels to how that life and those people apply to what we have in the world today that we consider the church. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about the church in prophecy. And basically, this could be an extremely short, extremely simple message. It's not going to be quite as short as it could be, but it could be very simple. Let me tell you what I'm trying to say. Number one, either God knew that he was going to establish a church, or he didn't. That's as simple as it gets. If God knew he was going to establish a church, there's going to be something in the Bible written that prophesies that that church is coming. If he did not know he was going to establish a church, he was not omniscient and is not God. We can sit down now, right? I'm done. But I'm not going to quit that easily. I am going to talk about some of the scriptures that talk about that Jesus had in mind and God had in mind an organization that he wanted to use. First one I'm going to go to is Ephesians 3:10 and 11, where Paul writes, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places, and this was in accordance to the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord." The church was the eternal purpose of God. Now, there's a doctrine out there today that if you study it a little bit, you're going to find out that this doctrine says that God's plan was to set up a kingdom on earth with Jesus as the head, reigning in Jerusalem and reigning over the earth. And since the Jews rejected him, then God had to figure out a second plan, and the church is just a stopgap measure, just the last chance, because what he was trying to do, he couldn't do. Well, if that's true, he doesn't have the omniscience to be a God. He just doesn't know. Acts 3:24 says, "All the prophets had spoken from Samuel and his successors onwards, announcing these days." Acts 2 and Acts 3 are about what? They're about the beginning of the church. So if all of the prophets from Samuel forward spoke about the beginning of the church, it's clear God knew it was coming a long time ago. So basically all I'm going to do today is read some scriptures. That's going to be it. We're going to read some scriptures from the Old Testament. We're going to read some scriptures from the New Testament. I'll make a few comments. We'll do it a couple more times and I'll sit down. First one is going to be 2 Samuel 7:16. This is Nathan speaking to David, and it says so at the end of the passage, but I'll read it anyhow. "Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all of these words and all of this vision." So Nathan spoke to David. Pretty clear that he was going to have a kingdom established at that time. Now I've got another section. And this one should be real familiar to you in John chapter 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you've come to God as a teacher. No one can do these signs unless God is with him.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Now, I'm going to stop right there and we're going to talk for a second. According to what Nicodemus believed, He was in the kingdom of God. The Israelite nation, following the laws of God and following the Old Testament commandments, put him in God's kingdom. Not necessarily a physical kingdom, but it put him in God's kingdom. And Jesus is saying to him, unless you do these things, you can't get into the kingdom. It's got to be a surprise to him. And he'll go on a little bit. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say to you, you must be born again. A new situation to him. This has got to be a shock to him. How on earth can it be that he, and by the way, if you look at the Greek, Jesus doesn't call him a teacher of Israel. He says the teacher of the Israel. Interesting construction. What does it mean? I'm not quite sure. But I think it's a lot more statement of fact to Nicodemus than most we usually think of. This is telling Nicodemus, this is something you ought to know. You are the teacher of this nation. Why don't you know this? So it's, and yet it's a shock to him. How can I be born again? Are you the teacher of the Israel? You do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of that which we know and testify that which we've seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? New messages. No one has descended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. If you are in the new kingdom, you're going to have that new life. If you're not in the new kingdom, you're not going to have it. And this is new information to him. Now, Christ described this kingdom as eternal. If the kingdom is going to be eternal, it has to have a ruler that's eternal. You can't have an eternal kingdom with a non-eternal ruler. So we know that this kingdom is eternal, and we know that it's this church that we have in us today. Brethren, may I confidently say, we're in Acts 2, may I confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to seat one of his descendants on the throne, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he would neither abandon to Hades nor did he suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, which we are all witness. Jesus is the head of that new church, that new kingdom. And the prophecy says so. The eternal church was prophesied by God from the beginning. It exists now and it shall exist until the time Christ comes again. Second scripture, Isaiah 2, starting in verse 1. The word of the Lord which Isaiah said, the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief mountain. And it will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream into it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Luke 24:25. Repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. See a parallel there? The law will, the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established as the chief of the mountains. Many people will stream into it. And he says that's where repentance and forgiveness is coming from. This mountain, this hill that was going to be established is the Mount Zion upon which Jerusalem is built. This is a parallel here. One says it's going to happen, the other says it happened. Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you stay in the city until you're clothed with power on high. This promise that was made in Isaiah and many other places is going to be fulfilled here. There's no question that Isaiah was speaking of Jerusalem at this point. And that's what would be the chief of the mountains. That would be the headquarters. That would be where the law was going to come forth. And that would be the staff. Now, that's not necessarily the physical Jerusalem. That is the spiritual Jerusalem. And the spiritual Jerusalem is what we are in today, what we live in today. This eternal church was prophesied by God. It was in God's mind from the beginning, exists now, and shall exist until Jesus comes again. Third point, Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, starting in verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with our fathers in the day that I took them by a hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this covenant which I will make in the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and on their hearts, and I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they will not teach again each other his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins, and I will remember them no more. This is what's coming. A new law, completely different, with a new kingdom. Hebrews 8:7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion sought for the second. For finding fault, he says, and then he quotes this passage we just read. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And it's exactly word for word the same. They're going to be his people. They were not his people anymore. That old covenant and that old nation died, but we have in this prophecy of something new to come and take its place, which prophecy was of the church. And the church is that which church which we have today. The eternal church, which was prophesied by God from the beginning, exists now and will exist until Jesus comes again. I have a fourth point. Daniel 2, starting in verse 44. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. That kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put to end all the other kingdoms, but it itself will endure forever, rather. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that crushed the bronze and iron and clay and silver and gold, that the great God has made known the king which will take place in the future, so the dream is true and the interpretation is trustworthy. And what was that foundation, that stone that was cut out of the mountain? The foundation stone is God, is Christ, Christ Almighty, upon which this church has been built. This church was prophesied. This church was in God's mind from the beginning. This church was expected by Him. It was prophesied by Him. It was in the beginning. It exists now and will exist for all eternity. This is a very simple thing. God prophesied it. There's no question about it. Therefore, it exists today as He planned for it to exist. Not very long, but I hope it's very thorough. I hope you have no questions about this. But if you have any questions about your spiritual life or the way we can help you in making your spiritual life grow or be better, we'd like to do that while we stand together and sing.